Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. As you can see from the title, the guest on today's podcast is Mondo Duplantis, the Swedish pole vaulting sensation who, it's fair to say, had a bit of a roller coaster 2020. He started the year off really well in the indoor season, breaking world records left, right and centre. And then as the world locked down, so did his competitions. Everything kind of slowed and he then went over to Sweden and we caught up with him. He was in his bedroom and we were just chatting about what he's doing in lockdown life. He's playing a lot of golf and what he's hoping for 2021 and the future. I've just seen on your Instagram recently, you've just been playing loads of golf. Is it your lockdown hobby?
Well, when I got back to Louisiana in March, right after the indoor season, I think it was maybe 2 weeks after. I think everything, you know, that I guess is going on now in the world kind of started to settle in and everything started to close. I mean, there was like every restaurant, everything in Lafayette, Louisiana, where I was at the time, just completely closed. And like the only thing that was open was just a couple golf courses, like no facilities or anything. So just me and my brothers, pretty much, we just decided to do something because we really had nothing to do. So we picked up golf. We started to play that for like the next, I didn't think it was going to go on this long, but we started to play it for, I guess, going on now for quite a while, I guess now for the past 4 months or so. But when I was in Louisiana, we played it for pretty much the whole 2 months.
And I was just, well, you kind of covered it there, but I was going to ask you, obviously you kind of started lockdown in the US and now you're in Sweden. How's it been being in two different countries during this time?
Yeah, it's different. It's different for sure. I think, you know, obviously both the countries handled it in different ways. But, you know, I was definitely in Louisiana. It was more of the heart of it because it was, you know, it was kind of, I don't know, everybody was kind of in like crisis mode when I was in Louisiana. Everything was closed. You couldn't really do anything. So, you know, and then once I came here to Sweden, it was a lot more relaxed and, you know, things are open and, you know, it feels a little more like a normality here. I mean, still nobody wants to shake hands and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, people are a lot more on the streets here, I would say. And, you know, things are open, restaurants and whatnot. But, you know, as I was leaving Louisiana, and I think the first week of June it was, things were like just starting to open up, but then I left. So I didn't really get to experience it when things started to open up. Everything was closed when I left.
You've had kind of like a weird start to the summer. Well, everybody has, but in terms of competition especially, you've done a lot of competing, but in front of no crowd.
Mm-hmm.
How's that been?
Yeah, no, it's super strange to say the least, but you know, my first meet in the beginning of June in Oslo, it wasn't really something that I was completely ready for in the sense of I wasn't in my best shape. I mean, I knew that going into it. I've been, like I was saying, I probably was playing more golf than I was training in anything, you know, during the month leading up to it when I was in Louisiana. So, you know, I wasn't expecting something crazy to come out of that meet, but it was nice to just go out there and compete. And, you know, it's definitely strange to compete without spectators, but I think it's a lot better than just training. So I love to compete. I love to go out there and, you know, get that competition feeling. So, you know, it's not quite the same, but it's better than nothing. Absolutely.
And going forward, has your form started to increase now you've been training a bit more?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I'm starting to feel better. I'm here in Uppsala, Sweden, and you know, it's great training facilities here, everything that I need to, you know, be the best that I can be. So, you know, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting back into that tip top shape. You know, I think it's very important for me to have some competitions to just technically kind of figure some things out, figure out which poles I need to be on and stuff like that. But, you know, definitely starting to get back into things.
And is there any competition that you're particularly looking forward to?
I guess all of them really, because it's so strange because usually, you know, you set up the season to where you look at forward to and you want to peak at one particular meet. You want to peak at the European Championships or the World Championships or the Olympics. But then, you know, when you take that away from me and I don't really have that, And I've kind of been struggling with like the fact of I don't really know when I want to have my best competition or what is the most important competition to me this year. So I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. I'm just excited to really get back to competing, and especially with, you know, with the guys, because I haven't competed against Sam or Renault or any of them in quite a while now. So I definitely would like to get back to competing against them. And, you know, I know that any time I line up against them, no matter where it is, I'm going to give it 100%.
Speaking of Sam and Renault, the last time you guys all kind of came together was for the Ultimate Garden Clash I think it was May. How is that for you? I think it was your first kind of competitive thing of the outdoor-ish season. How did you find it?
No, the Renault came about from Renault. Did I say the Renault? Or did I say the... the Garden Clash. Renault came up with the idea, and he presented it to me and Sam, and I thought it was a good idea. I was at that time I was living with my parents in Lafayette. I moved kind of just in with them from Baton Rouge, because where I live in Baton Rouge there was nothing to do, because the college LSU where I train at, it was closed and everything, and so I didn't see really a point to be there. So I moved back with my parents. And I was there just kind of chilling there, jumping in the backyard just for fun every once in a while. So when Renault presented the idea to me, I thought it was great, because, I mean, it was basically what I was doing already in my backyard, but kind of just more in a competition form. And I was competing against Sam and Renault, and it was kind of something fun, new. And so, I thought it was a great idea, and it was something definitely to strive to get better for, because, you know, it was kind of a time where I didn't know any meets I was going to compete in the summer. Nothing was certain. So, you know, it was definitely something to look forward to and something to get out there and, you know, have some fun with and compete against those guys, even if it was in a little bit of different format.
And how did you find the different format? Obviously, pole vault is just about how high you go, but the constant repetition.
It was so much different, but, because it almost became like a distance pole vault kind of thing. It's like who had the most stamina. But I mean, it was, I don't know. I liked it a lot though, because I knew that we were going to be hurting, you know, towards the end. And it kind of just became down to, you know, who wanted it the most, who was the biggest competitor, and who just was just going to give it their all in that last stretch of when they were hurting. And I knew that going into it. And I thought that, you know, I had the drive to really attack it and really, you know, compete. And, it was fun stuff. I don't want to do it all the time, but, you know, for that one time, it was definitely fun.
Do you think you could outright beat Renault if you did it again?
Yeah, I think so. But I wish we would have done the playoff, like the 3 minutes or whatever. But I didn't know what was going on, because right when it ended and they said we were in a tie, the sound for me cut off. Like my AirPods or whatever, or whoever's AirPods it was, they died. So I didn't know what was going on. So I had my mom like telling me what was going on as she was watching through the live stream. So it was like a little delayed. And she was like telling me about how they might do a playoff. And I was like, let's go, let's do it. But then like, I didn't know Renault didn't want to do it or anything. So I was like, I was getting ready to do it. Like I was all fired up for it. But, you know, next time we'd have to figure out the rules of that kind of stuff before.
Yeah, it was definitely good TV. Just kind of rewinding time before all this craziness kind of started to happen. The last time you were actually on this podcast, in fact, you're the first guest that we've had on twice. But the last time we spoke was in 2018 in Tampere for the World Under 20 Championships. And obviously since then, you've accomplished a lot more. arguably a very different vaulter now. Just kind of continuing on from that conversation, obviously you had a really successful Under 20 campaign. And then you were kind of heading towards the European Championships in Berlin, which I think now is widely regarded as one of the greatest competitions, not just in pole vault, but just in athletics history. It's like one of those amazing nights. Going into that, did you have any clue of your form and what you were capable of that night?
Well, I had a clue of what I was capable of, but I didn't realize that everybody was going to be as gem and good as they were. I mean, I figured, you know, I knew that if everything went right, that I had a good chance to make 6 meters. But, you know, 6:05, I not that I really wasn't expecting it, but I didn't really think I had to make it to win. I mean, not really many competitions, you have to make 6:05 to win the competition. So, you know, I knew that I was in shape to make 6 meters. And, you know, I thought that if I made 6 meters, I was going to win. And I mean, everybody just lining up the whole competition, you know, Lisek's first attempt, 90, Renault makes 95. I make 6 meters first attempt, and then we're going up to 6:05, and I'm not even the sole first place guy. We're tied for first place, me and Timur. So it's like I have to make 6:05 if I want to be the only guy on the top of the podium. So which is nuts. And it was just such a crazy competition where like nothing felt real in the moment. It was just kind of like this fantasy land of there was so much energy from the crowd at the moment, because I think they realized how just insane the competition was starting to get. And we were all just so gassed up on adrenaline. You could just feel it like in the air. Everybody was just, we were just so wired up that it was like, we were almost out of our body. And, it was just jump after jump. I couldn't miss and nobody else could miss really. And then somehow I ended up, I don't know, what was it? PR in like three times or so. Yeah. I think it was three of them. And I just, yeah, just everything just seemed to be going right for not only me, but just everybody.
Yeah, it was a truly phenomenal competition. Like, the atmosphere was just like insane that evening.
I don't know, it was something that it just something about that night. You know, even breaking the world record, which is, I mean, something that I've wanted for forever. I mean, it's one of the biggest goals that I've ever had in pole vault. But you know, it was obviously an amazing night. It was a dream come true, all that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that Berlin night, like, it's, that was, I think, just because of the way it happened and how, I guess, young I was at the time, I hope I can, for sure, in the sense of just the feeling afterwards, but it would be hard to beat.
Okay, so kind of going forward, in 2019 was another big year for you. You kind of cemented yourself on the circuit as a big name. Do you think following Berlin and your win there, did that kind of change how you were perceived on the circuit?
Yeah, I think that people had higher expectations of me. And, you know, when you have a big performance like that in, you know, a big meet, people expect, you know, yeah, just you to do that more often now. People were expecting me to get over, I guess, six meter bars more often. And, you know, 2019 was good. I had a pretty solid year. You know, I fell short of a little bit of just kind of everything that I wanted, though, which I guess is part of the reason why this year's been pretty good to me, because I just kind of came into this year with so much fuel. I wanted to, of course, win the NCAA championships, the college championships, because I knew that was going to be my only year in college. And, you know, I just wanted to win my last time representing LSU, and I fell short of that. I came second place to Chris Nielsen in the college NCAA championships, and then Diamond League final I wanted to win. I came second. Then World Championships, I came second, and they were all like pretty close matches. And so it was like I was always just so close to everything that I wanted, and I just didn't quite get it. And you know, when the season first ended, it was pretty, I don't know, it was pretty painful actually, because I competed well, and I felt like I did everything that I could at the time. And but you know, I think I shortly realized that there was just so much more that I could be doing to get better. And you know, the feeling of losing, I just didn't, and not even just losing really, just coming so close to what I wanted and so close to winning and just not getting it. It was so much fire in me coming into that fall training, going in before the indoor season, into where, you know, I just I didn't want to lose, really. I hated the feeling of just coming up short, and I wanted to show that I could be, you know, that I could be the top, that I could beat Sam, because Sam has been every time, no matter how well I competed, it seems like he always seemed to come up on top of me. And so, you know, I think in a way, you know, it was 2019 was a really good season, and I think coming up short in all those big meets that I wanted to win were, you know, I think it was good for me in the end, just from, you know, keeping me very, very motivated.
It's weird, like, from the outside looking in, obviously you won a silver medal in Doha and it was great. It was a good competition, and everybody thinks like, oh, he's still so young, he's got so much time ahead of him. And you don't really think about how that would impact you necessarily. And yeah, I mean, I just thought from my perspective that you had a great year, really consistent, building on the circuit, that kind of thing. But obviously as an athlete, you take things so much more, not personally, but I don't know, those losses really do define you and how you then went on to train going into 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so strange the way sports work, because, you know, if I go and when I made 597 on that last attempt in Doha, and, you know, I thought that I had a pretty good chance of winning, because, I mean, Sam only has one more attempt left at 597, and then it's pretty much either he wins or he loses based on that attempt. And, you know, it was almost like out of my hands after that, and he makes it, and, you know, I end up getting second. And, you know, I think that it's crazy to think that, it, you know, if he misses it and I win the World Championships, that, you know, maybe I don't have as good of an indoor season as I did, because maybe I kind of just sit back a little bit. I'm just a little less motivated going into this season. So, yeah, it's funny to think about, but, you know, everything happens for a reason, I guess.
With Doha and with maybe Berlin in the back of your mind, were you thinking like, okay, clearly I'm a championship performer, clearly I like to rise to the big occasion? Were you thinking, oh, maybe there's a repeat on here?
I think it was like kind of in the back of my mind, in the sense of like, I know that when it gets to the big meet and the big championship meet, anything can happen. You know, that's what it really comes down to. And not only can anything happen for me, but just for any of my competitors. So I was really kind of just expecting anything, expecting just the best and expecting, I guess, the worst, but, which I don't think about too much. And, yeah, I wouldn't say that like it was the same thing of, I was just assuming that I was going to have this blow up performance where I just make everything first attempt and we go up to 605, 610, whatever it may be. But, you know, I knew that I was in shape, like just kind of like Berlin, enough to make 6 meters. So I figured that, you know, if things go perfect, then something like that could happen. It didn't really work out that way, but, you know, I still jumped all right.
It was still a really good competition. But I think, obviously, going forward, as you said, it definitely fueled your fire for what you did in the 2020 indoor season, which was incredible. Kind of going into that year, did you always plan on doing an indoor season, or were you just training so well that you were like, well, I can't? Yeah.
No, I plan on doing an indoor season. It's, I think every pole vaulter, you know, tries to do a little bit of an indoor season at least, because it's just such a technical event to where you need to get some competitions in to get a feeling of everything, because, you know, you can only train so much. Especially for me, I run a little different in the competitions. I get on different poles, I grip different heights. So for me to get really used to what's going on and me to get in the competition form, I just have to compete. And so I was always planning on competing, but then, you know, once I was doing my fall training, I was kind of realizing the shape that I was in, you know, I was like, I was so excited to, you know, to get on the track, because I knew that the things that I was doing in practice, that I was like getting close to like world record shape, but I kind of just didn't want to like say it, because I almost didn't want to jinx it, because I didn't really know what world record form is, because I never broken the world record or anything. My PR was 605 from 2 years ago, I guess, at that point. And I never jumped 6 meters indoors or anything. And so I was like, I was just so excited for that first meet, because like it was like this like big secret that I was holding in that I just wanted to let out to everybody, because I knew what shape meant, but like nobody else knew. And yeah, that first meet, I kind of made my mark a little bit by making 6 meters that first one and giving 6:17 a pretty good shot. And then after that, yeah, that's when the world record started to come.
It was absolutely wild. Going into that, I think it was in Turin, right, where you did 6:17. So that's the first time you broke the world record. Did you feel ready? Did you feel like that night was going to be it?
Yes and no. Because, I mean, from the week before in Dusseldorf, Germany, where I had a pretty good shot at 6:17, I knew exactly what I had to do to make 6:17. But I just remember waking up the day for Turin, and I was still a little tight, and I was kind of a little, almost, I felt like, you know, just kind of beat up from the meet in Dusseldorf, however many days ago it was, I can't even remember now. And, you know, I was warming up, and I started to feel better and better and better, but, like, it wasn't like I woke up just feeling, like, just absolutely perfect, this is the day I was going to break the record, which, in my mind, I visualized that's how that day would go, which is kind of more like a Berlin day where just everything just felt perfect from the beginning. Like, even when I was warming up, I just felt so good in Berlin. But it wasn't really like that. Like, the warm-ups wasn't just, like, absolutely perfect. Like, no way I don't break the world record. It was more just, like, I was, like, kind of building up to it. And, like, I had the confidence that, like, if I just get everything right during the competition and I just kind of get my numbers right, get on the right pole, that I can break the world record at the end of this meet. And, yeah, it just I ended up taking a good jump at it and getting over it.
I mean, the pictures and the video of that was just like insane. The reaction from all the other pole vaulters and that kind of thing. How did you find that, the aftermath from Turin?
Yeah, it was so sweet, because it's like you can feel the genuine excitement from everybody that I was not really competing against, but just more competing with at the time. Because I don't know, I guess they just wanted to see a world record. I wanted to break the world record, and Pavel and Manola coming up to me, hugging me after Melker, who's been my roommate in so many international competitions when we're competing for Sweden, and it was just a great moment with, you know, just guys that I've competed against so many times now. Just to be able to experience it with them, to be able to experience it with my mom, who was there. And, you don't expect where the place would be, where you're going to do it. I feel like it kind of just happens, but, you know, it was just such a, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a perfect night in its own way, because it was not what I expected. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, if that's where it was going
to
be.
It was really nice to see. I mean, especially you ran straight up into the audience to hug your mum. And how was it having, because it's usually your dad who kind of comes for a lot of the meets with you, but in this case, it was your mum for a lot of the indoor season. What was it like having her there with you the whole time?
It was really special because, you know, especially the way that things have been going for me, to where I kind of have my mom a little more on hand than I do my dad at this point. Because, I mean, I train more than I do, like, technical training in pole vault. I only do that once or twice a week. And then the other time I'm running, I'm lifting, I'm doing general strength stuff, which is handled by my mother, my other coach. And so it was nice to see, you know, during the indoor season for my first couple meets, you know, her be kind of on site in these competitions and, you know, be able to help me, because she doesn't do much of the technical pole vault team, but she has a good understanding of the run and how it's supposed to be. And I've always said that if my run's good and I have my run locked in, then that's all I need. I know how to do everything else after that. And so, you know, she's great for me in that sense as well. I mean, so, you know, she gets a little bit nervous and she doesn't believe that she can coach me sometimes, but I always tell her that she has a really great eye for my run and she knows how I should be. And so when she was there, it was just a good opportunity for us to show that, you know, it wasn't just me and my dad doing all this for all these years, that, you know, my mom's been with me right with us all, you know, throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, it was, I remember, because the following meet that you did was Glasgow, and I remember speaking to your mum and your manager Daniel at the time, and they were just saying how, you know, how crazy the last few weeks have been with you on the circuit. And I mean, your mum just seems so proud of you and proud to be a part of it. So yeah, it's really, really lovely to see. And then, I mean, in Glasgow as well, you did it again. And I don't think anybody really expected you to to do it again after you'd done it, like, what, a few days before. Did you think you would do it again?
Yeah, well, I don't know how everybody else felt really about it, but I remember, like, when I woke up the next morning after the world record, or, like, woke up, I don't know, I kind of more just, like, the sun came up and I was just up. I just remember when I was, like, when I was traveling to Glasgow, and I was going there for my next meet, which was, like, 6 days later or whatever it was, I felt, like, this kind of really huge pressure on me because, you know, I've jumped in meets where, you know, I'm the European champion or, like, the world junior champion and stuff like that, which is, like, these kind of titles that hold a little bit of weight. But, like, I never held a title like the world record holder coming into a meet. And this was the first time I was going to do it. So it was, like, I felt this pressure of, like, people aren't even expecting me just to win this competition. People expect me to jump really high. I mean, I felt like people were expecting me to do it again. So I was, like, I, like, really was trying to get ready in those next few days, because I was like, I need to, I don't know, in my mind, I just felt like I had to do it again, because I just had to show people that I could do it again, and that, you know, that I'm the world record holder for a reason.
Well, yeah, it was, again, really impressive. Did you not feel, I mean, you kind of mentioned it from Dusseldorf, you felt a bit tight going into Turin. Did you feel the fatigue from breaking the world record?
Like, the first couple of days, yeah, I was pretty blown out, I would say. I was pretty tired because I just didn't sleep that well, and, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on. But, because then I forgot about that. I went back to Sweden for a couple of days, which was a little bit craziness. And so, and then once I went back to Glasgow, I felt, you know, I didn't feel any worse than Tarun. And that was kind of the way I looked at it. I was like, I just feel exactly kind of the same as Tarun. It was like 6 days ago, whatever. It's like, I was in world record shape, whatever, a week ago. So I don't see why I'm not in world record shape now. I mean, I guess I know that's not how it always works, but that was the way I was thinking about it at the time, and it ended up working out.
I mean, it seems that so much so with pole vault, it is a mental game and just, like, believing in yourself. How much do you think that weighs in on your competitive side when it comes to it?
I don't think there's another event really that's as mental as pole vaulting is. And the mentality is, it's such an important thing. And, you know, confidence is, you can't beat confidence in pole vaulting. And all of the great pole vaulters in the world right now are all pretty much just the most confident jumpers that there is out there, because, you know, the pole always knows if you have any hesitation in you, or if, you know, you don't have 100% confidence in what you're about to do, because you know, you have to give every jump completely 100%. And you know, at the time when it was indoor season, I was so confident, I was so comfortable in my jump that, like, I was just on autopilot. I didn't even have to really do anything. It felt like it was just like I knew exactly what I needed to do. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I would kind of just almost shut off my mind for a little bit and just kind of let everything just happen. I just was that confident in my jump.
I guess going forward off the back of the indoor season, you must have been super confident with the Olympic Games right around the corner and your form being this great. What was it like for you when you kind of realized that the Olympics probably weren't going to happen this year?
It wasn't like a thing where one day it was like I knew the Olympics was going to happen, the next day it wasn't. It was kind of a slow process of like 2 weeks, to where when I got back in early March from the indoor season, I don't know, I think just kind of the news started to come out, and we kind of were just starting to realize the severity of the situation. And it just felt like every day for like 2 weeks, which was like the longest 2 weeks maybe like in history, it just like more and more likely of what was going to happen. And you know, I didn't want to believe that it was going to be the case, because, you know, of course I wanted to compete in the Olympics. I felt like I was really ready this year. But you know, when it came down to it, I totally understood. I think everybody totally understood that, you know, it was really the only decision that could be made. you know, it was what it was. And, you know, people have it a lot worse than I do, or, you know, I guess we do as athletes. So, you know, I'm not going to be here really complaining about it. Next year should be great anyway. I should be, you know, I don't see why I can't get into the better form next year. But yeah, I mean, it's just an unexpected season in so many different ways.
Totally. I mean, right now we're 1 year to go again from Tokyo. Kind of looking forward and where we're going to be in a year's time, providing the Olympics goes ahead and everything. Who do you think will be right there with you gunning for the medals?
I think pretty much the same people that were here in this year and last year. But, you know, we have Sam, we have Lisek, we have Renaud, of course, and, you know, there's a lot of other people, but I guess we're gonna add Curtis also, because he kind of was dealing with an injury all of last year, couldn't really compete with us, but I think he's getting in a good shape, and he'll be ready next year, and he'll be, because, I mean, he's young, and he's really talented, so I think he'll be in, you know, I have a feeling he'll be in really good shape next year, so add Curtis to the mix, to everything, and I think it'll be one of a, you know, if it's hard to replicate Berlin in a lot of ways, but you know, I think that Tokyo next year it'll be something special.
It really seems that way, especially with the pole vault at the moment. There's a lot of really young, exciting talent. There's like the older guys who've kind of been there and won world titles and that kind of thing, who are still consistently at the top. But at the same time, there's a lot of really young guys who are progressing quite quickly, which makes it all the more exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's like these 99 babies where, like, it's, we have so many, yeah, so many good young pole vaulters coming up right now. So, you know, probably be good for a while now, I think.
Well, I think that's all my questions anyway for now. But I guess we'll have to check in with you again in 2 years' time.
Yeah, yeah. 2 year checkup. I love it.
Okay, mate. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Yeah, it's been great.
Absolutely.
So that's all we have time for on today's episode of the World Athletics Podcast. But you can, of course, follow us on social media at World Athletics on all platforms. We're even on TikTok now. Yep, it's really exciting. So, follow us on all platforms to stay updated with everything going on in the athletics world. And we'll see you next month for another episode.